Wikile Peter tuli sama manenu haya katika mastari thelathini na tano. It says, but wisdom is proved right by all her children. Na katika maneno ya leo, tunaweza kuona mtoto moja, mtoto ya ajili moja. Jesus said, what I'm doing will show that my way is right, that the way of God is right. And here in this passage, we see one of those children of wisdom, this woman who had led such a bad life. Lakini akatubu. He was invited to the house of a Pharisee. And we'll start by looking at that. Here he is in the house of a man called Simon. Simon Farisayo. Tunaweza ku soma jina lake katika mastari arobaini. Simon. Jesus had been eating with the tax collectors and the sinners, the bad people of Israel. Earlier in the book, we found him having a feast in the house of Matthew. And all the worst people who had been Matthew's friends. And Jesus went there. But now he's in the house of a very religious man, very upright man, a leader in the community, Simon the Pharisee. Simon invited him. Tumeweza kusoma kwamba palikuwa wa Farisayo wengine ambao wameanza to make plans to kill Jesus. But it seems this Pharisee, Simon, he was still deciding, he's still thinking, who is this Jesus? Where has he come from? What is he really here for? What is God saying through him? So Simon hasn't rejected Jesus yet. He invites him to his house to hear from him. And Jesus goes there. Jesus went wherever he was invited. But not for pleasure, not for entertainment, not to fill his stomach, but to do them good and to bring them the word of God. Wherever he was invited, he went, not just to spend his time and to avoid work, but to bring them the word of God. We also should be people who are ready to go anywhere, but not for pleasure, not to just use our time, but to invest our time and to serve Jesus whilst we are there, to bring the truth of God. Now, in these places, in this time where Jesus was, if you had a meal, then your home was open. And anyone would just come in and join and talk and ask questions and see who was there. That was the custom. So this woman comes in. The door is open. I think in these days and in the town, there's so many people, we might fear to do that kind of thing. But here in the towns of, in Galilee, they knew each other. And they could open the doors. And people knew who everybody else was. So they knew who this woman was when she came in. Now, the way they used to have their meals then, well, in verse 36, we have the word recline. And what's that? What that is referring to is they actually used to lie on the floor. There would be the table, and you would lie on the floor with your head towards the table. You normally lay on your left-hand side, and you could bend your legs, and you would eat whilst lying on the floor. So Jesus' feet are behind him, the table in front of him, and that's how they all were. That's why it says in verse 38 that the woman came and stood behind him at his feet, weeping. How can she be at his feet, behind him? Because his feet are stretching out from from the table as he lies on the floor eating, or, well, not on the floor, they had, I use the word couches that they could lie on, but towards the floor. So that's where we are. We're in the house of this leader, this teacher, this very serious religious man, Simon the Pharisee. Jesus has been invited. He's gone there. They're eating together. And this woman comes in. A woman who was known because she had lived a sinful life, as it says in verse 37. And probably, well, these places are small and everybody's known. And Simon is thinking in verse 39, does Jesus not know who this woman is, the kind of life she has lived? Even if he hasn't heard of her, surely as a prophet he can see. Does he not realize? Well, let's look at the things that happened. We're going to look first at the woman. Now, this was a woman who had led a very wicked life. But it seems she had heard the preaching of Jesus. Maybe John the Baptist too. But she'd heard the preaching of Jesus. She'd realized how far, far she was from God. She realized her ways did not please God. She realized that God will judge sinners. But in Jesus, she found the love and mercy of God calling her back. In Jesus, she saw an open door to come back into the Father's house. In Jesus, she saw arms open wide to welcome her again back to her Maker. Have you seen those things yet in Jesus? And she turned around her way of life. She turned away from. And now she was so glad. She was so happy. She was so grateful to Jesus for what he had done. He had come down so low. He'd come down to where she was to preach to her the way back to God and to invite her into God's kingdom, which he was bringing. Now, it seems she didn't dare to interrupt him. She didn't dare to speak to him whilst he was eating. She didn't dare to introduce herself and make herself known, but she just stood behind him at his feet. And there she wept, tears of sorrow for her old life, tears of joy because Jesus had changed her. And these tears were so many that they fell onto his feet and began to make his feet wet, verse 38. And she feels perhaps a little embarrassed or ashamed that here is this teacher, and she's too afraid to speak, but now she's making his feet wet. Well, what does she do? She dries them. The only cloth she has is her hair. Verse 38, she wipes them. She begins to clean them. Now, in those times, not different to here, really. The ground's dusty. People were going round in sandals, not the closed shoes that we have, but sandals, and their feet are getting dirty. Often, if you went to somebody's house, they would wash your feet for you. Perhaps not always, but the host, the owner of the house, would bring out the water as a sign of humility and of his welcome. He would wash your feet, but that hadn't happened here. But now the woman begins to wash Jesus' feet with her tears. But she's brought something with her. Verse 37. She's brought a jar of perfume. And these things were not cheap. They cost money. Another time we read of Jesus being anointed with a perfume that cost a whole year's wages. Perhaps some perfume that had been kept at home for when someone died. They spent a lot of money on anointing the bodies of those who had died. We don't know where this woman obtained the perfume from. But whatever it was for, now, it was now for Jesus. And it was used to anoint his feet. She wanted to show how grateful she was. She wanted to show how much she loved him. It was just a small thing as he traveled around preaching and teaching. Just this small service that she cleaned his feet and anointed them. And she kissed them with the kiss of friendship. In those days, people usually kissed when they met with a pure kiss, a kiss of greeting. Again, she doesn't dare to interrupt him as he eats. But she gives that holy kiss to his feet. Not once, but many times. Nothing was too much for her. If she could just show some gratitude to Jesus. Just show him in some way how happy she was for his love to her. But Simon the Pharisee did not approve. He was offended. Verse 39, he saw it and he said just to himself, if this Jesus, if he really knew this woman, if he was a prophet and understood holy things, if he really had the Spirit of God and the mind of God, he wouldn't let her touch him. He'd be offended that this unholy woman was coming so near to him. He would drive her away. You see, that's how the Pharisees were. Their thinking was, I'm holy, so you better stay away from me. It's a good thing God doesn't think like that, isn't it? Yes, God is holy, far more holy than the Pharisees. And yes, we cannot approach him in our sin. But God in his love and mercy comes near to cleanse us by the blood of Christ. Through the death Jesus died to make us holy in his sight. That the holiness of Jesus is given to us so that God can then welcome us. He doesn't say, you stay far off and stay far off forever. No, he comes near, and Jesus had come near to this woman to change her. So that she should no longer be so sinful in her life. But the Pharisees, that wasn't their thinking. They said, well, you're finished. Your life is so unclean. Just stay far, far away and head into the everlasting darkness at the end of it. What uncaring, uncompassionate people, ungodly people. But they didn't know. They thought they were so godly. They thought they were so pure. So Simon's thinking, if Jesus had understanding, he wouldn't let this woman near him. But Jesus had understanding, and Jesus knew what Simon was thinking. Verse 40 says, Yesu akam jibu. He answered him. He answered the thoughts of his heart. Jesus knows the thoughts of your heart. Even now. And he answered him. He said, let me tell you a story. He was very respectful to Simon. He said, Simon, there's something. Please, allow me to tell you. And Simon said, well, teacher, do speak. Well, Jesus tells his story. There's a creditor, a moneylender. By one man, he's owed 50 denarii. Now, a denarii is about one working day's wages. For a labourer. Man goes out to work on the building site or some other manual labour. 50 days' wages he owes, so quite a lot of money. But the other man, he owes 10 times more. He owes 500 denarii. So you'd have to work for about a year and a half, and everything you'd have to give, a very large debt. But neither of them could pay. And he decided to forgive them both. Now, Jesus isn't really teaching us about debt and paying it back. He's just saying what happened in this story. He decided to repay them both. Now, which one will be more grateful? Which one will love the lender more? which one will have the bigger heart for him? Mujibu Rahisi, ndio? Na Simon Akajibu, mstari 23, ni yeye ambayo he had the bigger debt. That one will love him more. Jesus said, that's right. Now can you see that in this woman? Yes, her life has been so full of sin. And that's why she loves me so much now. That's why she feels so grateful. Because God has pardoned so much sin. And she now feels so much gratitude that nothing is too much for her. That's why she wants to do anything she can for me, for Jesus. How do you feel about Jesus? Do you have the heart that was in this woman? That he's done so much. He came all the way down from his Father's side in glory to be cursed, to be spat upon, to be hated, to be mocked, to be rejected, and to be crucified, to pour out his blood for our sins. Can you say, I know this woman, I love her, I'm with her. There's nothing that's too much for me now to give myself to Jesus. My debts before God were so many. But he's cancelled them all because of his own dear son. This woman deeply loved Jesus. Let's look at Simon. Let's see more of this. See, Simon looked at Jesus and judged him. He said, how can he be a prophet? How can any prophet behave like this? And you know, that's all he was looking for. He was only looking for a prophet, a Nabi. Just someone to give him more teaching. Someone to tell him more. He didn't see his need of something bigger. He didn't see his need of a saviour, of a mediator between him and God. He didn't see that he needed someone to cleanse him and to make him a new person. He didn't see his debt. See, in the story Jesus told, there were two debtors, not just one. Jesus is saying, Simon, don't you know that you're a debtor too? Yes, maybe your life is not as offensive as this woman's. Maybe you're not known in the whole town as a vile person. But you too are a debtor. Do you know that? You may not be known throughout Eldoret as one of the worst of people. But you need to know that you too have piled up sins before God. God, the holy God who has his law. He knows you. And there will be a day for the accounts to be settled. God will say, what did you do in your lifetime? How did you obey my laws and commandments? How did you follow my way? Did you always love me with all your heart and soul and mind and strength? Did you love your neighbor always, just as you love yourself? God will shine his holy light into your life, and the truth will be seen, and it'll be seen that you too are a great debtor before God, and you can't pay. You haven't got enough to pay him with. But Simon couldn't see his own sin. See, he was serious about the things of God. He was upright. Yes, he's inviting teachers to come into his house. He's very near. And yet, he's blind. And he's lost. Because he's proud. He's so near salvation. Jesus is lying there in his house. But he's so far from it. Because he doesn't see his need. He doesn't see his debt. Jesus tells this story. It's got a sting in the tail. You know that idea a sting in the tail. Verse 47. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. And that's Simon, isn't it? Simon, the one who loves Jesus little. It's because his sins haven't been forgiven. Of course, what Jesus is really saying is, Simon, your sins haven't been forgiven at all, because you show no true love to the Saviour. So this woman had done all the things and more that Simon should have done. Simon has no real understanding who Jesus is. Jesus comes in his house. He doesn't wash Jesus' feet from the dirt and dust of the road. Jesus comes in to his house. He doesn't give anything to anoint his head with. That's something they used to do in those days. Some fresh oil was given for the head, for the good smell which it gave. Simon had not given him even the normal greeting. Verse 45, you did not give me a kiss. Simon thought that inviting Jesus into his house was a real honour for Jesus. That Jesus should be feeling really pleased that he's come to the house of a Pharisee. So Simon does not trouble himself to make Jesus feel very welcome when he's there. He had no real love to Jesus. He did not see Jesus' glory. He didn't feel his need for Jesus' mercy. So Simon does not come down to anoint Jesus' head. But the woman, she doesn't dare to come up any further than his feet. Which of those are you? Do you think you've really come down if you're hearing the word of Jesus? Or do you think, how can I even approach up to his feet? Do you fall at his feet in amazement? Or do you remain at a distance, judging? If we look at verses 48 up to 50, we see more of the depth of the love of Jesus for this woman. Mysteria arubaini nanani, Yesu akasema, zambi zake zimesamehewa, your sins are forgiven. He honoured her before everybody. He didn't say, this woman's not popular here. This woman, they don't really like her. Let me just speak to her privately afterwards. Let me keep things quiet for now. But this woman belongs to him. She loves him. She's taken a great risk to come and honour him. And the Bible says God will honour those who honour him. Those who speak up for God, those who walk in the way of God openly, even if it's difficult, and when it costs them something, God will honour those people. And that's what Jesus does here. He is the good shepherd of his flock, and he sees one of his sheep. And he knows she needs to be strengthened. She needs to be encouraged. She needs to know her service is not for nothing. That though she doesn't dare to come up beyond his feet, yet he fully welcomes her. So before all the people, he honours her and says, your sins are forgiven. Her love had been demonstrated. So now he gave her the comfort of knowing. He gave her the reassurance. At verse 50, he says, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. See, this woman believed there was no hope for her. She was lost, but Jesus was her hope. Jesus was her saviour. Jesus was the one who would make everything new again. And that's what faith is. Faith looks to Jesus as our one and only hope. Faith bows down before him as the Son of God. faith says, I've got to honour Jesus because he is the one who does everything for me. And so Jesus says, your faith has saved you. Not because God says, well done, you've done so well by having faith. I'm so pleased with your faith. No, but because faith is what takes us to Jesus. It's a looking to Jesus himself, crucified and risen, that brings that salvation to us. Now what Jesus says is quite amazing, isn't it? Simon's just looking for a prophet. But Jesus says, well, you love me so much, it's clear that your sins are forgiven. It's clear you're one of those people who trusts in me. So therefore, we can say that you are one of those people whose sins are washed away. Now, that's an amazing claim, isn't it? If I said such a thing today, in my own name, you'd say that man is mad. He's so arrogant. If I came and said, well, this person loves me so much, it's obvious they look at me as the one sent from God, so therefore I can tell you that their sins are forgiven. You'd say, this is a madman. He thinks he's God. But that's exactly what Jesus was saying, wasn't it? He's saying, because this woman loves me so much, we can see that God has forgiven her sin. You can't just have Jesus as a teacher. You can't just have him as a prophet. Either he is the Son of God and the Saviour, or he's a terrible liar and he's a blasphemer. Either he is the way, the truth and the life, or he's an imposter, he's a cheat and a fraud. You can't be like Simon and just have him in your house as a prophet, a teacher. He's got to be everything. He's got to be God in the flesh, crucified for our sins. Or he's nothing at all. There's a divide. The people there understood it. Verse 49, they began to speak and say, who is this? What is he saying? How can he forgive sins? Who is this man? What is he claiming about himself? But it's a challenge to them. Will they face up to who Jesus really is? Will they face up to their own need? If he's forgiving this woman, what about them? Are they forgiven? Are they like Simon, with no love to Jesus? Will they admit that they also are debtors? Will they also bow, fall at his feet, and worship him? And what about you? Will you do it as well?